there, and thank you so much for joining us for Market Sense. I'm Heather Hedges with Fidelity. So if you watch our show, you know that we always like to begin with a check of the market headlines, and we've got a lot to talk about today. So stocks have been rebounding after that sell-off last week, but it's got some investors wondering if this is just a routine correction or if it could be a sign of more things to come. Also, corporate America kicked off the busiest week for first quarter earnings that will be key in determining what happens with stocks. And we're also waiting right now on the latest numbers on the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, and that's going to be coming out later this week. So to talk about what those three things might mean for investors is Naveen Malwal, who's an institutional portfolio manager here at Fidelity. We are also joined today by Leanna Deviney, who's a Massachusetts-based branch leader here at Fidelity, and she's going to be giving us her insights, and we're going to be finding out from her what customers have been asking her lately and her team. She always leaves us with actionable next steps for investors. So I'm so excited to welcome both of you on the show today, and I'm excited for this conversation.
I am too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, same here.
Well, with that, we want to get right into it. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, and we want to get a little bit caught up, Naveen, on some of those economic headlines that I just touched upon. You know, first of all, I can't believe what a difference a week can make when it comes to the markets. After that really strong start to the year, we actually saw the first cracks, I would say, you know, starting to emerge in the markets last week. That stock market rally that investors have been riding, Naveen, started to get a little bit bumpy. There started to be a little bit of turbulence, you could say. So I'd love to start off just by getting your take on what happened last week.
Yeah, well, before I get there, let me just share, I don't believe what happened last week has meaningfully changed the positive backdrop for stocks that we've seen really for the last few months. Since October of last year, stocks have been rising. And when we see that happen, it can feel jarring when there's a bit of a pullback. But, you know, right now we're sharing a chart with you that is showing you the long-term history of the stock market. And on top of that, we're showing you also different news headlines that have taken place over time. If I think back to last week, well, the volatility, why did it happen? It's a combination of things. One, the market is digesting this sticky inflation situation. So inflation has come down so much from where it was, close to 9% in 2022, but it's been stuck around 3%. It's not heading lower. That's led to some challenges in the interest rate market and the bond markets. But on top of that, we saw some headlines from the Middle East last week that maybe alarmed investors as well. Put that together, we have what feels like to me a more typical market correction as opposed to a big shift in what's happening with the economy. To me, I didn't see any signs that suddenly the economy or the earnings outlook have drastically changed either here in the US or for most international markets either.
Okay, that is certainly reassuring, Naveen. Thank you. So one of the reasons that we asked you to come on Market Sense today, Naveen, is we'd love to hear more today about what you and your investment team are focused on at the moment now that we're into quarter two. Just in case you know, people aren't familiar with you, you manage accounts for more than 3 million individuals and families in the U.S. So I'd love to hear what you and your team see as some of the big takeaways from the first quarter as we you know, are well into the second quarter now and looking back.
Yeah, so even after the sell-off of last week, stocks are off to a pretty strong start for the year, and that has been supported by earnings growth and a solid economy. On the economy, I see things like a strong job market, continued consumer spending. Those are all positives for the economy because in the US, nearly 70% of economic growth that happens year to year is driven by consumer spending. So those are two powerful supports for the US economy. And I don't think that has changed because of what happened last week. I'll add to that with the earnings outlook. Last year, we saw earnings kind of grinding lower the first few quarters, but we had a strong fourth quarter result for 2023, and the expectations for earnings growth have improved for 2024 and 2025. As you mentioned in your open, Heather, some big companies sharing earnings results soon in the coming days and coming weeks. That'll be helpful for investors to see is this continuing. But from the way things have gone so far since last fall, it does feel like a positive backdrop in general, and the markets are off to a pretty solid start.
Okay, so pretty strong data all around. Sounds like one of the takeaways there. Okay, so we're a couple weeks into quarter two now. What do you see as some of the biggest surprises that we have seen so far this year, Naveen? And along those lines, what are some of the biggest potential risks that you see facing the markets right now?
Yeah, so there one's more obvious, I'd say. That's kind of the risk in the headlines, right? So unfortunately, the situation in the Middle East still feels tense. The situation in Russia, Ukraine, that's still tense. And we still have some challenges with the economy in China, which is such a big economy, it does seem to have some concerns for investors all around the world. Now, having said all that, I think the other parts of it are maybe less obvious, but they might matter a bit more to the stock market overall. So thinking about what's happened with inflation, I mentioned it's stickier than most people were expecting. Most folks thought inflation would continue to drift lower and the Fed would cut rates several times this year. And that hasn't happened. What we've seen instead is inflation has persisted at this 3% level and interest rates have actually bumped up a bit so far this year, most interest rates. What that has led to is some volatility in the bond market. And that's been a challenge for investors to see that. Oh no, the bond market is struggling again. So that to me is perhaps the biggest surprise compared to how investors felt coming into the year, where the expectation was lower inflation and lower interest rates. We haven't seen that play out just yet.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that consumers probably thought that once the Fed started, you know, rate hiking, that inflation would just go away. And it does seem to be sticky, as we've talked about on this show. Leanne, I want to bring you in now. You know, I'd love to know from you, first of all, what was the most common question that you or your team have been asked by customers at your branch this year? And how did you respond? What was your answer?
Sure. I love this question. And just to give background again on my role and the function of my team, we really work with clients to build and implement wealth plans to really help clients plan for their financial future. So a lot of our conversation is rooted around an appropriate investment strategy for whatever the goals that you may have. So that could be retirement, it could be needing income, it could be short-term goals. So just wanted to name a few and give some context. But most of the clients we serve, naturally, they have questions about where we are in the economy and how that will impact their plan. So with the economic landscape Naveen just shared, clients have really asked questions about inflation, about rates, and we are getting questions again on it being an election year and how that may impact their plan. So just to hit on a couple of those, inflation, it's still top of mind. Although we shared it's improved, it is sticky and we're still feeling the higher costs. A client actually just visited our branch yesterday and they spend the winter down at different resorts where they don't actually have to get gas every week. And they were complaining, like, I thought that I'd return and that gas still wouldn't be this high. But it is. We're still feeling that. So we really help discuss ways that we can diversify your portfolio, really just to make sure that your investments can help potentially outpace this high inflation. So we talk about having equities as a portion of your portfolio, because we know historically equities have allowed you to outpace or really combat inflation as part of kind of the growth portion of your plan. As with rates, you know, a lot of questions on where does Fidelity see rates going and how soon would they fall? I think, again, like we mentioned, many thought that they'd be cut at this point or getting there. So we just talk more about it's not a matter of if, but when and how we really make sure that you have the right investment strategy based on the goals that you have. Many investors have parked more in cash because of this rate environment, where really it actually should probably be exploring more diversified investments based on some longer term goals. And then just last, on the election year, naturally, we can see some short-term volatility in the lead up to elections, and there's always potential uncertainty. But just like the slide Naveen kind of shared that highlighted all the different market events that we've seen, those last two elections that were listed on there, they're just a small blip. And that's really we talk through how to stay invested during any of these challenging times.
All right. Thank you, Lena. And by the way, you mentioned cash. Just a quick plug. Next week, we're going to be doing another episode on cash. And have you missed the boat if you've kept your money in cash this long now? So great segue for that episode for next week. But let's stick with the topic of the economy right now and bring you back in, Naveen. So you mentioned the economy is resilient. Can you talk about some of the areas that you and your team are seeing strength right now?
So in terms of economic strength, I point to a couple of things. One that has shifted pretty meaningfully was globally, things are feeling better. Last year, maybe more than last year, it felt like the US economy was recovering nicely, hanging in there, but other parts of the world were struggling, whether you're in Europe or Latin America or Asia. But late in the year, we started seeing indications that overall, are we seeing improvement in areas like manufacturing, for example? So manufacturing activity picked up and started to expand in many major economies around the world. Another way I track different economies is looking at what's called leading economic indicators. And that's looking at a group of indicators around manufacturing, new orders for goods, consumer confidence, the job market, etc., across different countries or regions. And many of those also turned positive for the first time in a while. So that's one big takeaway, is this doesn't feel like just a U.S. story anymore. And why that can matter, even if you're just a U.S. investor, you think about how many of typical corporate America earnings come from overseas. It turns out the average is roughly 40%. So roughly 40% of S&P 500 earnings come from sales outside of U.S. borders. So that can help your U.S. investments and global investments. Now, on those global investments, those international investments outside of the U.S., here, the outlook is pretty interesting. So they're seeing better economic backdrop, rising outlook for earnings growth as well. And they're actually much cheaper than U.S. stocks. If you look at measures like price to earnings ratios. So I've actually seen some folks suggesting that international stocks have a chance to either keep up with or maybe even outpace U.S. stocks this year. That points to the value of having some diversification. Having both U.S. and international stocks may be a nice way for investors to potentially benefit from growing economies, not just domestically, but all around the world.
Okay. Diversification, diversification, diversification. All right. Let's talk about fixed income now. Bonds did struggle in the first quarter of the year because of rates. What's your take on the bond market right now, Naveen? You know, it does seem like there's a lot of uncertainty right now with the Fed and with interest rates. So what are you thinking? What's your latest thinking here?
Yeah, so interest rates are interesting. I think they more obviously affect the bond market. When interest rates generally rise, like they did the last few months, as people were starting to reset their inflation expectations, that unfortunately led to some choppiness in the bond market. And bonds so far, year to date, investment grade bonds are down a little bit. Having said that, right, we haven't seen any signs that the Fed is going to raise interest rates. We can look at the Fed futures market, which is a space where investors can put money on whether they think rates are heading higher or lower. And most of those investors believe rates are heading lower still later in the year. So that might be a positive backdrop for bonds, where rates are not going to go up much more. They might start to decline at some point. That can help boost bond returns down the road. On top of that, the yields that are available right now, because they are higher, if you buy a bond today and rates decline in the future, that may be another way to benefit from the bond market, where the price of the bond you're purchasing in the near term may rise as other rates start to fall later in the year. So the outlook, I'd say, is relatively positive. And one point I meant to make earlier is rates also can have an impact on stocks. So if you think about earnings, if companies are not paying out as much on their debt, on their interest payments, their profits tend to be higher. So Urien talks about this sometimes, right? So if rates are going to stay higher for longer, that might affect earnings. But if rates start to decline later in the year, that can also actually help the stock market as well. So for now, we'll have to see. I think, you know, the fact is people were expecting 6, maybe 7 rate cuts when the year started. And now the expectation is down to maybe 2, maybe 3 rate cuts. So maybe that happens, but you know, it's nice to look at what might take place with the futures market, but it's not a prediction, unfortunately. So the best course of action, in my opinion, is to stay invested, monitor these things, stay diversified, as you just said, and just see if the story plays out with inflation and rates heading in a more positive direction as the year bumps along.
Okay. Well, of course, the storyline with bonds has been, you know, that the performance, as you mentioned, Naveen, you know, has been surprising to some. They haven't provided as much protection, the port in the storm, as investors might have expected or wanted. So, Leanne, I'd love to find out from you how you've been sort of coaching your customers through this. How have you been talking to them about the role of bonds? And have you been talking to them? I'm just curious. Have you been talking to them about possibly making some adjustments to their 60-40 portfolios? Is it time to do that?
Yeah, it's great questions. I think it does go back to why we hold bonds and just taking a step back, and it's understanding that it is twofold. You know, they're there to provide income and also stability. And really, for the past 18 months, many clients have been asking about bonds and the 60-40 portfolio. And there's been headlines out there that share like, oh, is the 60-40 portfolio over? But for most investors, bonds do serve a purpose, and they do serve that purpose in some way or shape in their full portfolio. And I think it's important to remember just regardless of the direction of interest rates, investment grade bonds have also offset stock volatility. And that's during periods of higher rate environments, like dating back to the early 1940s and even the early 1980s. And history does show that bonds are less volatile than stocks. So it really does help to provide a smoother overall investment experience in a diversified portfolio, but it is looking at a longer period of time. And many clients will say, well, you know, I'm retiring soon and I don't have as longer term as history is looking. But even with things like retirement, when you're close, we're planning for a long and healthy retirement. So even if you're 3 or 5 years away, we're still planning for a 25 to 30 year time horizon. So I think it's important to keep that perspective. And then as for adjustments, just in this landscape, we do talk to clients about, we don't necessarily abandon bonds, but we can make subtle tweaks looking at the fixed income portion of a diversified portfolio. So Naveen's team, strategic advisors, they'll take a look and say, okay, well, should we have shorter term investment bond funds or investment grade bonds with shorter durations? So just giving some examples to some of the subtle adjustments we may be able to make.
Okay, subtle adjustments. Okay, let's go from bonds to stocks again. So, you know, I mentioned we're going to be talking about cash next week, but, you know, again, some investors might be worried after that strong rally last year and a strong quarter that that might have been it. And then it might be too late to get into stocks at this point. They might feel like they've missed the boat, like I said. Naveen, I'll bring you back in. What would you say to that?
Well, we have another chart to share right now, and this chart, I think, tells a pretty powerful story. Just because the stock market has made a new all-time high doesn't mean the market has to correct, right? So if you look at this chart, the blue line is the S&P 500 rising over time, including dividends, and those gray bars dropping down, those are all the all-time highs we've experienced since 1950. This chart goes back a long ways. And you'll notice a lot of the all-time highs just lead to more all-time highs. Now, of course, there are times where the market does go through a correction, and sometimes a long one too. You can see the second third of the chart, these white spaces, right? Well, one of them was the tech bubble. That was around 1999, 2000. And the other one, that white space, starts in 2008. Now, that's not because the market, quote, reached an all-time high. It's because something was happening with the economy or the fundamentals of the market that led to those. So if I were to keep it short and simple, just because the market has made an all-time high, that alone is not a reason to say, well, I better not get in the stock market now, but tends to add more value to an investment decision and to a financial plan. So think about, as Leanna said, what are your goals? What are your needs? What do you need the money for over the long run? And how can I get there in a safe way that can feel comfortable for me? But then number two, if you are investing in the stock market, pay attention to earnings, pay attention to valuations, pay attention to the economy, and not necessarily, oh, the market is up, I better get out. That doesn't pay off historically. I don't expect that to pay off going forward either.
Okay, I had a feeling you'd say that. Time in the market. Leanna, you know, I'd love to hear from you too, how you help clients through that, you know, common question or common feeling, emotion. And also just to kind of wrap our conversation, any final thoughts from you about what Naveen has talked about today and whether we might want to make some adjustments to our portfolio, considering what Naveen said today?
Sure. So I think clients will come in and say, you know, this time feels different. You know, this is definitely the all-time high, or I've missed the boat and I want to sit out and wait for another opportunity of when it may feel right. And we talk a lot about the emotions and sometimes the danger when we bring emotions into investing. And that's why it's so important to stay disciplined. So another chart for you, it is showing, this is over a 20-year period, and it's showing that really, no matter what cycle you get in, this is looking at the economic cycle and the four different phases, early, mid, late recession, but you could see the average returns, that they're pretty much right there, maybe a subtle one up or down, but it just shows the importance of staying disciplined and keeping that long-term perspective tied to your investment strategy that takes precedence over some of the emotions or feeling that we missed the opportunity. And so just to kind of end, where most clients find the most success and get a lot of value is compartmentalizing some of their goals to strategy. So making sure you have that emergency fund that helps when there is times of volatility, making sure you have protection in your plan, and then also making sure that you have a growth strategy. So having those three things allows clients to stay disciplined.
Love that chart, Leanna, because it really shows no matter when you get in, no matter when in the economic cycle, it just is about time. That's your biggest defense, right? Or your biggest tool in your toolbox, right? Well, this has been great information for investors as we try to set ourselves up for success. And I did want to remind everybody that I can't believe we're saying this, but we are almost at the halfway point of the year. So just a quick plug that we are working on our in-person mid-year outlook show. Naveen's going to be participating in that. That is coming up right around the corner on Tuesday, June 4th at 2 p.m. Eastern. And before we go, Naveen, I just wanted to find out from you, what are you watching for the rest of the week?
Oh, it's me a lot. So I'll keep it quick. Just me inflation numbers, as you said earlier, Heather. We're going to get some nice earnings numbers coming out as well. Developments in the Middle East situation. Of course, all the economy that's out there, the economic data that's out there as well on jobs and consumer sentiment. So a lot to watch for. So maybe tune in again next week to find out how we break it down.
Awesome. Nice tease there, Naveen. All right. Well, I hope everybody out there feels a little bit more set up for success in the second quarter now. But if you do have questions about making a financial plan or staying on track, don't forget that Fidelity can help. You can call us, you can go online to our website, or you can download Fidelity's app to learn more. And if you have a Fidelity account through your employer, you can log on to netbenefits.com for more information. And if you missed any part of the discussion, the replay is up for 24 hours on LinkedIn. You can also watch the replay by going to youtube.com/Fidelity, or you can search the words Market Sense on fidelity.com. You can also catch us on the go. We're also a podcast as well. And your feedback helps us to guide future episodes. So please keep those comments coming in the comment section under the video player where you're watching us. On behalf of Naveen Mallwal and Leanna Deviney today, I'm Heather Hedges. We will see you back here next week. We are live Tuesdays at 2 Eastern.
Fidelity does not provide legal or tax advice. The information herein is general and educational in nature and should not be considered legal or tax advice. Tax laws and regulations are complex and subject to change, which can materially impact investment results. Fidelity cannot guarantee the information herein is accurate, complete, or timely. Fidelity makes no warranty with regard to such information or results obtained by its use and disclaims any liability arising out of your use of or any tax position taken in reliance on such information. Consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific situation. Information presented herein is for discussion and illustrative purposes only and is not a recommendation or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Views expressed are as of the date indicated based on the information available at that time and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the Fidelity speaker and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. To the extent any investment information in this material is deemed to be a recommendation, it is not meant to be impartial investment advice or advice in a fiduciary capacity and is not intended to be used as a primary basis for you or your client's investment decisions. Fidelity and its representatives may have a conflict of interest in the products or services mentioned in this material because they have a financial interest in them and receive compensation directly or indirectly in connection with the management, distribution, or servicing of these products or services, including Fidelity funds, certain third-party funds and products, and certain investment services. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Diversification and or asset allocation do not ensure profit or protect against loss. Stock markets are volatile and can fluctuate significantly in response to company, industry, political, regulatory, market, or economic developments. Investing in stocks involves risks, including loss of principal. Foreign markets can be more volatile than U.S. markets due to the increased risks of adverse issuer, political, market, or economic developments, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. These risks are particularly significant for investments that focus on a single country or region. Fixed income investments entail interest rate risk. As interest rates rise, bond prices usually fall. The risk of issuer or counterparty default, issuer credit risk, and inflation risk. Foreign securities are subject to interest rate, currency exchange rate, economic, and political risks, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Fidelity Wealth Services provides non-discretionary financial planning and discretionary investment management through one or more portfolio advisory services accounts for a fee. Advisory services offered by Fidelity Personal and Workplace Advisors LLC, FPWA, a registered investment advisor. Discretionary portfolio management services provided by Strategic Advisors LLC, Strategic Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Brokerage services provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, FSB, and custodial and related services provided by National Financial Services LLC, NFS. Each a member NYSE and SIPC. FPWA, FBS, and NFS are Fidelity Investments companies. This information is intended to be educational and is not tailored to the investment needs of any specific investor. Personal and workplace investment products are provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.